You're listening to ABC Overnights. My name's Tim Brunero. Good to be with you this morning. Well, each week at this time, we speak to Professor Gordon Lynch. He's head of department at the Department of Physiology at the University of Melbourne. And he gives us some tips on how to make ourselves fit and happy and healthy. Hi, Professor.
Hello, Tim, and Happy New Year to you and Happy New Year to our listeners.
A very Happy New Year to you. This year, we're talking about New Year's health resolutions and how to realise them. You've got a bit of a cheat sheet for us. First up, you reckon set short-term goals.
Yeah, I think around this time of year, Tim, we have all the best intentions, and sometimes we set the targets a little bit too high and unachievable. But the first thing I'd like to suggest, if we've got a health goal, because most of the goals that we set around New Year's, and especially at this time of year, are around about health resolutions. If we're about 40% of us are making a New Year's resolution, two-thirds of those resolutions relate to health. And so I think they're good things to shoot for, but I think we can do some things in a little bit different way this year to make sure we realise those goals. And setting a short-term goal, rather than saying, well, by the end of next December, or I'm going to be this, why don't you just shoot for Easter? And I think the first couple of months are the hardest. If you've got a new resolution, you've got a new regimen that you're trying to follow, the first couple of months are the hardest. So let's set the target to say Easter and say, let's see, we'll try and be rigorous in what we're doing and follow that to Easter and then monitor our progress to then.
And what kind of targets do you like best? Is it saying I want to lose X amount of kilos, or is it saying I want to do a half hour of exercise, even if it's a walk after dinner, every day?
Oh, I think that's a very important thing. Rather than taking away one of the things that you like, I'd rather say, well, let's add something you haven't done before. So if your goal is to lose weight, then I think be realistic about that. Rather than go for these big crash diets and things like that, just take one part thing away, which may be the food you like, biscuits or something like that, but add exercise like walking. To say that you're going for a walk three times a week, you're far more likely to achieve that than saying I'm giving up chocolate forever. And I think that's the way that we approach this is to add an activity which is we think you haven't done before, it's going to burn kilojoules, and then if you just slightly modify the diet, and it doesn't take too many things to take away from the diet to have a dramatic effect on weight, taking away those high sugar foods can have a dramatic effect. So if it's about weight loss, then I think aiming for a small amount of weight per week, half a kilo to kilo per week, rather than what you see on TV, these massive losses of weight, I'd rather do it in small chunks because that way it's more likely to stay off. If your goal is to quit smoking, start by reducing the number of cigarettes. Rather than just going cold turkey, I'd say reduce the number of cigarettes per day and then let's see what we get to by Easter and then modify it that way. So simple things like that, rather than the making some bold statement and going cold turkey or launching into something, just doing it sensibly.
Well, that's the thing. When you see the contestants on TBL doing their thing, you sort of forget that they're doing it full time. I mean, they're on a game show and they have the luxury of devoting all week to it, whereas in real life you don't really have that, and you're stressed, you're at work, it's 3 o'clock, and you do grab, a muffin or something because you need to keep your brain ticking over. Hey, can I just put an idea through you? This is an idea I had a couple of years ago when I'd go to the gym and I'd see people putting their results into a filing cabinet and keeping a record of what they were doing at the gym, and they'd often walk around with it and mark things off as they went. I thought that's a good idea, and so a couple of years ago I started buying two diaries. When I'd renew my diary, I'd take my normal diary, and then I have it like my exercise diary. Now it doesn't always work, but I find I'll go for a couple of weeks, I might not put something in it when I'm having a bad period, but what I find is I actually write in it what I've done.
Yep.
And I actually find that really helpful. It's kind of my version of people who really are gym nuts and do keep it at the gym. But I find that's really good because you can look back on your week and it's not just this amorphous, oh, did I go for a walk on Tuesday? I can't remember. You've actually got it there and you kind of got some record. Do you think that helps in terms of motivation?
It does. And I think when we're talking about even for resolutions, it doesn't necessarily have to be at the gym, but writing it down and making it happen. That these are important statements. If you write these things down, you're more likely to reflect on it. You're likely to go back to it and see what you put down as the stake in the ground. And I think when you can chart your progress, like so with your diary at the gym, is you're charting your progress. You're setting another goal. With our fitness, it's always about pushing the boundaries just that ever so slightly more. Yes, it may be each week or each month, and you're setting a new target. And that's the way that we can realise these resolutions, is that we set these short-term goals, and that's part of what we do with our training, is that we're modifying certain things, how many repetitions we're doing, what sort of exercises we're doing, how much we're lifting, how much we're walking or running, and we can chart the progress. And then we get to our first 2 or 3 months of our goal, and we think, gee, I'm amazed at what I've achieved here, and then you keep going. Mm. It's a reinforcement, and I think it's a very important thing, but writing it down and making it happen are important things for all aspects of life.
Because you can usually get a diary around this time, especially towards the end of January, for like $2 or $3. Like, it's not much of an investment, and then once you start putting stuff in, I just find it's really good, because you can flick back, you can see, and I started for a little while putting, you know, alcohol, because I try and cut that out. I would put it in, and then just add up how many drinks I'd had that week, and I'd say, oh, that was a good week, I only had sort of 10 drinks or whatever, and yeah. Well, that week wasn't so good, it's more like 26. So, you know, and that sort of thing. So, I don't know, I just find that helps me. Listen, in terms of your guide and your cheat sheet to realizing New Year's health resolutions, one of the things you identify is working out what obstacles you might have. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, look, I think if we think about there's always going to be something that's going to get in the way of achieving your goals. And so, you know, many of them, you can't avoid them. They're going to be there the whole time. So, but I think if you think about this, and part of it is writing it down as well, but a little forethought, you can eliminate many of the obstacles that may get in your way. So if you're trying to give up smoking, not only is it a good idea to get rid of all your cigarettes, but it may be worth, you know, avoiding particular situations where you're more likely to be tempted to start smoking and avoiding those situations. So it requires a bit of planning. If we just go about our business as we would normally, the temptations are going to be there the whole time. But if we plan it, and this is again about writing it down and thinking about the strategies about how we're going to do this successfully, we can avoid the situation. So identifying those obstacles, I think, is going to be very important, making sure that we can get around them, work around them as best we can.
What is an obstacle, though? Like, can you kind of quantify what an obstacle might be? Is it... I always pass the pub on a Wednesday, or people go for drinks on Thursday at work, I'm going to avoid that so I don't drink.
You know, it sounds a little bit silly, but it's actually true. I mean, it's about if you're taking a particular walking path at work and you're going past the vending machine every single, you know, half hour, and you're tempted to get a chocolate bar out of the thing, you change the way that you walk if you can. If you're traveling and the pub is there and your goal is to reduce the number of drinks, then you've got to reduce the temptation. And so it's just about those sorts of things. And if you've got the pantry full of biscuits, then you're tempted every time you open the pantry and think, I think I'll have one of those, rather than saying, well, let's cut out biscuits from the shopping list for the next 2 months. And let's reduce the temptation. And I think that these are simple obstacles we can get around.
I just find that putting off thing really does work. I had a friend who said, if you feel like a cigarette, if you feel like a drink, if you feel like something, you know, dessert, he said, say, I'm going to have that, but I'm going to have a walk around the block first. And honestly, 90% of the time you get back, you don't want it anymore. It's just about that 10-minute window where you're kind of, where you're vulnerable, I suppose. Hey, you mentioned gathering your support when it comes to realizing New Year's health resolutions. What does that mean?
Well, I think if you can involve other people in your goals, that they can help in a number of ways. You know, if you've got a family friend or a member of your family close to you, you can confide in them, and they can be on board with the goal and help you achieve that goal and maybe avoid some of those temptations if you're out there with them together. If you confide in a professional person or whatever, they can have a bit more of a structured thing that will help you get that support. But I think it's just simply having, you know, letting people know what your target is, and if they're good friends and others that will be around you and they can help you achieve that goal, reduce the number of temptations and all those other things, then you've got a support network that can help you realise the goal. So I think, you know, we're setting targets. Sometimes it's very difficult to do it by yourself, but if you have people around you, that support network, then we've got a better chance of being successful.
Structure is so important, isn't it? I just find, you know, if I've got a running group or something and I know it's on, for some reason I always go to it. I could run any time, but for some reason, just the fact it's on a Wednesday at 5 means I go do it. It's not exactly what you're saying around, you know, involving other people and telling them what you're trying to do, but just structure is so important. Can I move to keep trying? Because you're talking about when you write on this topic, keeping on trying. What does that mean?
Well, I think we know many times we've made resolutions and they've all sort of gone by the wayside. I don't think we should, you know, if we have a particular resolution, we shouldn't abandon it. I mean, we know the old saying, if you don't succeed the first time, try again and so on. When it comes to these sorts of resolutions, 17% of people who achieved their resolutions were only successful on their sixth attempt. So if you think about that, if you've abandoned the first goal, I think, wow, God, it's all too hard for me, I'm not going to try. I think you've just got to get back and say, let's recalibrate and let's set the next target. And that means you don't have to set resolutions on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. You can set resolutions any time of the year, and it's about setting targets, and it's about setting those realistic and achievable. You don't make, you know, don't set the bar too low, because when you achieve those, it's sort of insignificant. But don't set it unrealistically high that you're never going to achieve, because it's just going to lead to disappointment. If we think about how we talked about those, you know, half a kilo a week or 1 kilo a week of weight reduction, if we think about adding behaviours rather than subtracting, all those things will help us realise our goals. But if you don't make it the first time, my advice is always keep trying.
Yeah.
You can make sure that you can change things. Recognise what obstacle got in your way this time. Okay, I'm going to get around it next time. It's about recalibrating the situation, knowing how you can get around those particular obstacles the next time. And if it happens again, okay, you realise there's another obstacle and you can get around that as well. It's about, I just think, you know, being resolute in wanting to achieve this means that you learn from your mistakes and you just keep trying.
Mm. Thank you so much. Of course, we can check in with you directly if we've got questions, queries, comments at Gordon S. Lynch, GordonSLynch. You don't mind if people flick you a tweet, do you?
No, I always get some wonderful ideas for topics each week from our listeners who drop me a line, and I'm very grateful for that. And I think if you've got a burning question, that you'd be surprised to know that there may be a burning question for many other people as well. So I welcome those.
Professor, thanks for your time so early in the morning.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Professor Gordon Lynch, he is with the Department of Physiology at the University of Melbourne.